All right, let's go down to the coverings. At the very bottom, under number 6 and A, all right, there are four coverings of the tabernacle. That's this right here, the covering. We're talking about this right here. On your little chart here that you have, see the tabernacle there? We just studied last Wednesday night about the problem they had in the book of Hebrews. All right? And look at what is in the tabernacle there. All right? The first room of the tabernacle, called the holy place. All right? The holy place. What's in there? In the holy place. What's in the holy place? All right? We have the table of showbread, we have the candlestick, and we have the altar of incense. Okay? And then in the Holy of Holies, what do we have? We have the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. The Ark of the Covenant that had the mercy seat on top of it. And two, what are those things standing looking at each other, or actually looking down toward each other? Cherubim. Cherubim. All right. The cherubim. All right. That's angels is what they are. Angels with wings. The word cherubim, actually, the word means wind. All right? Because the word in Lakota is Wombly. Okay? Lakota, that's a Sioux Indian language, okay? It means wing flapper. And it means the same thing in Hebrew. And an angel, a cherubim, has wings. Okay? We know there's angels, but there are cherubims also. The cherubims have wings. The other angels look like men. But these are like human-like, but they have wings also. That's the difference between a cherubim and an angel. I don't understand everything I know about that. Okay? But it comes from the word cherubim, comes from wing, okay? It means to use the air to flap its wings, okay? And they have their wings toward each other, don't they? All right? Sister Andino, what's going on?
Is there another angel, seraphim? So
the seraphim and the cherubim? Yeah, all right.
What is the difference between them?
There's another also, isn't there, Jim?
What?
A third class of angel, isn't there?
Well, there's archangels also. That means head angels. All right. We'll get into them a little bit later. But anyway, because we have cherubims here under this, that's why I wanted to bring this out, okay? All right. The cherubims. Now, they're standing in there, as you can see. But what we're talking about today is the covering over that. We've already talked about the boards, haven't we? The boards, there are 48 boards that stand around holding the... Here we have boards all the way around here like this. All of these 48 boards around here standing on end, okay? And the boards are made out of what? Two materials. Wood, which stands for what? Humanity. And gold, which stands for what? Divinity. Now, all of the tabernacle teaches about what? The person of God. God is revealing himself to us. Okay? And we have another book in the Bible, in the New Testament, the last book in the New Testament. It really relates so much back to the tabernacle. The book of Revelation. What does Revelation mean? It says, in Greek, it's Apocalypse. To Jesu Christu, of Jesus. All right? The apocalypse, the uncovering of Jesus. Which it means the revealing of Jesus. Okay? Now, the tabernacle reveals Jesus again. Okay? The whole tabernacle tells us who Jesus is. All right? Now, he is man, but he is God. That's what all of it's saying. That God became man, that he could redeem us back to himself. All right. Now, in this tabernacle here, we have the boards. We have the two different rooms. Okay. We're going to study them a little better. This room here is actually a square. It's not exactly square on my drawing, but it's supposed to be. Okay, I want you to understand that. It's 15 feet by 15 feet, isn't it? All right? The perfect square. And remember also, that perfect square, 15 by 15 feet, what is that city four square in the end? What is that one? New Jerusalem. And how many miles square is it? 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. What a difference. But it represents that room right there. And who is on the throne in the New Jerusalem? Jesus. Who's on the throne here in this room? Jesus. All right? Okay, so now this covering in all of the tabernacle is representing Jesus. It is God's revelation. It is theology. What does theology mean? The study of God. Theology. Comes from theos. All right? And logos. That's the two words it comes from right there. Our word theology. Simple as that. The study of God. The book that we're studying right now, the tabernacle, is telling us about our God. Okay? It's telling us about our God, revealing Him to us. Now let's go look at the curtains now. Number six, down there below. Have you got yours out there, Brother John?
Yes.
And number eight, general instructions. See that? General directions. 61. And at the bottom of the page, what's it say down there?
There are four
curtains in number. Okay. How many Gospels are there?
Four Gospels.
How many flags were there around on your... How many flags here?
Four.
See, God doesn't just jump up and say something that doesn't... That's totally separate. If you have a doctrine that you believe that is not taught from Genesis through Revelation, the doctrine is probably wrong. Okay? Your doctrine is probably wrong. Because when the Bible makes a revelation, any subsequent revelation after that, if it goes against the original revelation, something's wrong with it. Okay? All right. Brother John, going a little bit further now.
First, curtains of fine, twined linen. Scarlet, purple, blue, cherubim, embroidery.
Okay, now where was this curtain? The first curtain, number one curtain, over this. It covers it, okay? Number one curtain covers all of this, okay? It's over this. But you cannot, there's going to be more, there's going to be three other curtains on top of that. All right? Three other tent coverings. So the number one, where could you see this? If you wanted to see this covering, where do you have to go?
From the inside.
All right? There, when you're in Christ, that's when you can enjoy Him. Okay? That's when you can see who He is. All right. Go ahead a little bit further now. It was fine twine linen. What does linen represent?
Purity,
righteousness. Okay. And scarlet? His blood. How about purple? His royalty. How about blue? His heavenly abode. And the cherubim. The cherubim. All right. Now, that's one of the only things in that tabernacle that doesn't represent God. I want you to understand that right now. Put a great big parenthesis around this. The cherubim do not represent God. They don't represent God. Okay? That's one thing in the tabernacle that does not represent God. What do they represent? The witnesses that witness salvation and forgiveness of sins. All right? That's what they are. Remember, I told you many times, there are two times in your life when you're going to see angels. If you're a child of God. When you're born again, when you're saved, at the point that you've been saved, and when they come for you and take you into glory. At your death, you are going to know the angels are there. Okay? The angels are there. They're ministers, is what they are. Ministers and witnesses. That's what they are for. What do we have around the great glory room throne in heaven? Witnesses, angels, ministers. Ministering spirits, it says. All right? Let's go on a little bit further. Who else has got your... Mike, have you got that out? You've got it out there. All right. What's the next one? Second one.
I'm not sure where you're at.
At the bottom of the page, on page 61, where it says first and then second.
Goat's hair.
Goat's hair. All right. Goat's hair. What in the world is goat's hair? What does a goat represent? Sin. All right. There was a sin offering in the Old Testament that the goat bore, the sin offering, okay? The goat's hair. And by the way, most of the goats in the Middle East are what color? Black. What does black represent in the Bible? Death and sin. Death and sin. Okay? Third, number three. What does that one say, Brother Luis? There, are you there?
Yes, ram's skin dyed red.
Okay, now we have a different story here. Ram's skin dyed red. How do you get a ram's skin? Anybody know how you get a ram's skin? You got to kill the animal, don't you?
Butcher the ram's skin.
If somebody got your skin, they'd have to kill you. Well, you'd be fighting all the time, wouldn't you, Brother Joseph? I guarantee you. Not going to take my skin without a tussle. All right? The animal died. And its ram skin dyed red. In the Old Testament time, in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, what kind of a story do we have there? What a historical event do we have there in Genesis, the 22nd chapter? We have Abraham, don't we? Abraham went to Jerusalem. Did you know that? Yeah. As far as we know, that's the first time Abraham ever actually went to Jerusalem. Yeah, Mount Moriah. That's where the Mosque of Omar is today. Okay? Look over there at that. See that right there? That's the, right in front there, that's the Eastern Gate. We talk about the Eastern Gate. What's the story about the Eastern Gate, Brother Wally?
Well, that's where the King of Glory will come in.
Yes, that's where the King of Glory will come in, is the Eastern Gate. Now we're looking, that's the Eastern Gate. But look back there where that gold dome is. That's the Mosque of Omar. That's the Dome of the Rock. That's where Abraham offered Isaac. Okay? Right there. That's the place. Abraham was there, and he was getting ready to kill his son. An offering. As a burnt offering.
Inside of that mosque, those rocks are still there.
Yes, they're there. They're there.
Those of us who have been in there.
Yeah. They are there. You can just see it. Okay? And I mean, that's there. But the people that are in control of that don't even believe that story. Did you know that? They don't believe that story. But there it is, right there. Now, when Abraham got ready to offer Isaac, God provided something. God saw to something. The word is Jireh, all right? We have a title of Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh. All right? Jehovah Jireh. What does the word Jireh mean? All right?
Provided.
Look something like this. In Hebrew. All right? That don't mean much, does it? That's a yod and a resh right there, okay? Jireh, okay? That means to see. That's what it literally means. It means to see. Okay? Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah, we use that term because it comes from a Hebrew word that looks like this. All right, that don't mean anything either because I don't know how to say it. We say Jehovah all the time, but I don't know how to say that, neither does anybody else. If you tried to say this literally without any vowel pointings, it would be just the same as this one right here. See that one? That's Yod. All right? Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's the only thing. You can put other vowel pointings in there. Just say that together. Yeah. That's all. That breathed your breath out. When you quit breathing, what happens to you? You're dead. All right? And breath means life. Okay? And this is the living one that shall become Jehovah, the one who shall become. Now let's look at Jehovah Jireh now. This ram skin here, because this goes all the way back to the original promises and everything, the ram skin. All right? The ram had to be killed to get his skin. And it's dyed red to remind you of the blood that the ram shed. Now, on Mount Moriah, that mountain right over there where Abraham was when he offered Isaac, the Lord, Jehovah, spoke to him. All right? Jehovah spoke to him, and Jehovah appeared to him there. I want you to remember it. Jehovah appeared to him. Can you look that up in your... Because I don't remember what it says there. It might even reveal it correctly. It might... Genesis 22. Around about in the middle of that chapter where it says, the Lord shall provide, or the Lord was seen. It might say... It might translate it correctly. I don't know. Anyway, there it says Abraham was ready to slice Isaac's throat with his knife. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, Hold on, Abraham. Hold on, Abraham. He said, now I know you believe me. You're going to follow me. You believe me. For the rest of his life, God believed him. Abraham was not a perfect person. Did you know that? You just read about his life. But I'm going to tell you something. He was the father of the faithful. And in him, it says in Hebrew, out of a mass of humanity, out of many men, God chose one to bless all of the world. Out of one man, he picked out one, out of a mass of humanity, out of many men, God picked one man to bless all humanity. Okay? What? You find anything there?
I see in 22:8, Abraham said, Elohim will provide for himself a lamb for an ascended sacrifice, my son. So they went on their way, both of them together.
Okay. All right. Now, on down further, where are you? 14? 14.
So Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah, Jireh, which is still said today in the Mount of Jehovah, for provision he made.
Okay. Not only provision, not only the word provide. Jireh means to provide also, but actually it doesn't mean that. It means to see to it. Okay? Two things happen there. One, Abraham saw Jehovah. Jehovah appeared to him in his pre-incarnate form, which we call the pre-incarnate what? Brother Wally, the pre-incarnate Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ. He appeared to him in the pre-incarnate Christ, and then he provided the ram. All right, and what? How did God provide the lamb? What happened? Where did the lamb come from? Got caught in the bushes by the strongest part of his body, by his horns. Okay, the ram's horn is also that which they blew on the Day of Atonement. When they blew the horn, everybody's sins were forgiven on the day Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Okay. God provided that lamb, that ram right there on that mountain. And then God told Abraham, in your seed, singular, shall what? All nations be blessed. Only one way to salvation. By this ram. The lamb that God provided. The lamb that God saw to it. In Oklahoma English, if you want to call it that, Okie. If you ask something, I'd go to my grandpa and say, Grandpa, can I do this? Can I have this? He said, I'll see to it later. See to it. That's exactly how it should be translated. God saw to it and God was seen. Jehovah saw to it and Jehovah was seen. All right. Are you? Do you have your page there too, Rebecca? Do you have? You don't.
Which one?
That one on page 61. Yeah. Yes. Page 61. And number 4. What does number 4 there
badger or seal skin.
All right. Badger is what King James used to say. It's not really a badger skin. This is a what we call a sea cow or a seal. Now, people that used to have, you know, when they used to use skin coats and all kinds of stuff, one of the softest coats that you could possibly buy and one of the most fabulous looking ones, the softest fur, was what kind? Seal. A seal skin coat, all right? A seal skin coat. Well, what happens to seals when you get their skin? They die. All right? And they're kind of a brownish black looking thing too, aren't they? Okay? So now this is the skin that was on the outside of the tabernacle out here. The last one. Okay? It was a dark one. Now, if you go and in the Middle East today, I think still, I haven't been there since 1975 and 76, and that's a long time ago. But when I was there in 1975 and 76, and I think it hadn't changed too much, way out in the yonder area, you could look out there and you could see these great sprawling tents. And these great sprawling tents would be dark colored, black colored, because they were made out of goat's hair. And that's what we see here is the dark colors on the outside. Okay? And the world looks at Jesus from the outside, don't they? What do the Jehovah Witnesses say about Jesus? The man, Jesus. That he was just a man and he died and never rose again. What does the world say? You know, they took a survey just recently about Jesus. Did you know that? They did an ecumenical survey of who Jesus was. Okay? And what do in England and Australia and every place in the world that you can think of in America, you ask them, what do you think about Jesus? Well, he was a good man. A good man. It's sad what happened to him. He's a good man. It's sad what happened to him. You know, like Buddha and Confucius and Socrates and all these, you know, all these great teachers died sometime or another, you know. And this guy was killed, you know, by his peers. That's why they look at him as just a man. But what does the Bible teach about him? He's God. He was a God-man. And he didn't stay in the grave either, did he? Didn't stay in the grave. All right. Now let's look down here on number. The directions are made up of 10 curtains sewed in at 2 breadths of 5 each. Okay, now these are all the curtains. 42 feet by 60 feet. All right. And then it says 10 or 15 feet down the back. All right. 2 curtains were linked with 100 loops of blue. 100 loops of blue. What do you think the blue represented?
Heaven.
All right, and 50 hooks of what? Gold. So even though we see Jesus represented in all of these different skins and everything else, they're hooked together with 100 loops of blue representing his heavenly abode, and 50 hooks of gold, which represents what? His continual deity. All right? John, the first chapter. Let's go there real quick. John, chapter 1. Because this is the way the world looks at our Jesus. All of the cults and isms look at Jesus the same way. They will accept Jesus as a good man, as a prophet. Why, even the Muslims accept him as a prophet. But look at what John 1 and 1 says. All right, John 1 and 1. Let's read there. John 1 and verse 1. Are you there, Joseph? John 1 and 1.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
All right. He kept on being in the beginning with God. All right. We've heard this, John 1 and 1. This is Jehovah. That's who it's talking about, Jehovah. The Word is Jehovah. The name or the Word. Okay? Number 3 now. Number 3, Rebecca.
All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made.
All right. Number 4, Brother Wally. Have you got your Bible open there?
Yeah, what
John 1 and 4.
Okay. In him was life, and the life was the life of men.
All right. And number 5, Brother Floyd.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not.
All right. The darkness wouldn't receive it, literally. It wouldn't comprehend it. All right. In the book of Genesis, it says God divided the darkness from the light. He's always been doing that. You know that? God's always been dividing the darkness from the light. Always. Number six. Look at that. There came a man sent from God whose name was what? John. This is old John the Baptist. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light. Again, the light. That all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. If this is the true light coming into the world and enlightens every man. Verse number 10, Brother Mike.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him.
All right, number 11. This is the one that I wanted you to understand right here. Number 11, Brother David.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
All right. He came to his own creation. Those who were his own, and his own received him not. His creatures, the seed of Abraham received him not. God told Abraham, through your seed, and this is the one right here, your seed. God was related to mankind through Abraham. He chose one man out of many to bring the blessing to all the world. All right? John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. Jehovah became flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. All right. There he is. That's who that this tabernacle represents. This is the one. He tabernacled among us. The tabernacle represents Jesus. He tabernacled above us. That's the person it represents. Okay? Now let's go on. Yes, Brother Wally.
Now Jesus said, I am the great I am.
Yes.
Himself to be deity.
Yes.
Now, if these people said he was a nice man and he didn't, and he wasn't, he lied about it.
That's right.
So he wouldn't have been so nice.
Yeah. He said in the book, in Hebrews, he said, Hathya Esher Hathya, I am that I am. And the Greek Septuagint translation, that which he used all the time, says, Ego Eimi. When Jesus said, Ego Eimi, the Jews did what? They took up stones to stone him because he said that he was God. Did they mistake what he said?
No.
But how many people willingly do not want to believe that today? Every follower of Gardner, Ted Armstrong, or Charles Russell does not believe that today. To their own damnation. Joseph Smith didn't believe it. Every cult and ism in the world today does not, they do away with the tabernacle. With the revelation of God, okay? Number 2. What does it say there? Number 2. The typical significance. All right? Number 1, linen. Linen is what? Righteousness, pure white, the finest piece of material ever woven from flax. Christ is the finest personality ever walked the earth. Colors come from the death of any animal. All the colors of the tabernacle basically come from the death of some animal. The same is true of the veil. Scarlet comes from the cochineal bug, and blue and purple from shellfish. All right? Lydia was a what? What did Lydia do? Brother Wally, you remember what she did?
Yeah, she made garments.
She was a dyer of purple cloth, which meant royalty. You know what? That girl was purple. Didn't you know that? That girl was purple. She had purple all over her from the little shellfish that she got the purple color from. She was purple. All right? Because once they, her hands, their arms, the people that died, the clothes that they wore and everything, they turned purple. Okay? From the dye. All right? She was a dyer of purple. She was a purple person. All right? She was. But the purple came from the shellfish that she took the dye from. She did royal garments is what she did. All right? Now, this is 40 cubits long. 40 cubits. How long was Jesus tested? 40 days. All right? 40 days. How long was Moses up on the mountain? How long was Israel being tested down below?
40 days.
When he went back up on the mountain, how long was Moses back up on the mountain? 40 days. When he was back on, was Moses a type of Christ also? He was a type of our intercessor, all this stuff. All right? The 40 cubits long speaks of the testing of Christ, and many number 40 in the Bible, many, many times. All right, number C, a curtain of goat's hair, Exodus 26, 7 through 13. The general direction, 6 in one and 5 on the other, 100 loops, 100 attachments of brass. What does brass teach in the Bible? How was a goat hair put together? 100 what? Attachments of brass. What is brass?
Judgment.
The judgment of God was upon Jesus Christ for Mike's sins. Am I right, brother? That's right. If you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's because of your sins. All right? You did it. The judgment of Jesus was upon our judgment was upon him. And the 11th is made from goat's hair, and the scripture teaches goats are black. Song of Solomon talks about in Solomon 6, in 6 and 5, tents of the Arabs today are what? Black, made of goat's hair, according to Achanak and Jim Phillips, because I've been there, okay? I've seen them. I've seen them. Anybody else been over in Palestine? You ever seen those? Have you seen those out there, the wild Bedouins today are still in those black tents? They're sprawling tents, by the way, great big tents. They're not little old pup tents. They're great big tents.
Well, here, not too many of those are black. They're mostly brown.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the tents are black. Okay? But they, the hair, and they, I think they probably dye them too. Okay? Black is the color of sin, comes from the goat, type of sin. 11 equals sin. All right? The number 11 equals sin. Goat equals sin. Black equals sin. We are enacted by the erection of the tabernacle, the gospel, white curtain. All right? The white curtain is Christ. Black curtain is sin placed on Christ. We have a white curtain over here, and what's placed directly on it? The black curtain, which is our sin placed on Christ. All right? The black on white, our sins on Christ, laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He died for our sins, past, present, and future. Isn't that beautiful? Brother Mike, when you're saved forever. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. That's done. Isn't that right, Brother Louise? How about Brother Wally? All right. Have you ever had to be saved 10 times? 5? One time was good enough? The blood of Jesus Christ covered you one time.
There's only one Redeemer.
All right. Number D. The curtains of ram skins dyed red. Exodus 26:14. Go there. Exodus 26:14. Exodus. What does Exodus mean? The road out. All right. The road out. The way out. The road out. Yes, 26:14.
And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skin dyed red, and a covering above of badger's skin.
All right, all right. Typical civic significance.
Why did they use badger? Was that, did you use that for a name for the seal?
That's the seal skin.
Out here, badger is a brown thing. That
yes.
This was.
They dismissed the boat. That's all. They just, when they translated that, they just missed the boat. Okay? Typical significance. The black of our sins brought about His sacrifice. The ram is the sacrificial animal used at the consecration of Aaron and his sons, and it speaks of dedication. I have come to do thy will. It was used as a substitute for Isaac. All right, in Genesis 22. It means his consecration to the Father's business led him to the cross. Just think about it for a while. This was skin and not hair. A sacrifice of an animal was necessary. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he was out there and the devil approached him after he was out there for how many days? 40 days. Remember the 40, okay? All of this meat's talking about Jesus, okay? 40 days. And what did the devil say to him? Remember what he said? Anybody remember?
Well, a number of things.
If you're hungry, if you are the Son of God, indeed, what? Turn these rocks into bread. And what did Jesus say to him? Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. All right. What did God teach Israel in the wilderness? Huh?
Depend on it.
There are a lot of things in this world that we like. I made my famous chili over there today. I was going to make biscuits and gravy for you today, but my wife wouldn't let me. All right, that's her fault. But I made the chili over there. These things taste good, don't they? They taste good. But while Israel was out there in the wilderness, what did they have?
Manna.
Manna. Manna means, what is it? And it tastes really good. Okay? But they got tired of it. They wanted the onions of Egypt. All right? That's what they wanted. They wanted the dainties. They wanted the garlic. They wanted the spices. And what Jesus told them back then, and what the devil was tempting him, he said, man shall not live by those dainties, those tasty dainties, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. God provides. Moses was up on the mountain for over 40 days. The first time. Over 40 days. Okay? Did God provide for him food? He didn't even have to eat it. He didn't die, did he? Joseph, you ever gone for food without food for 40 days? Me neither. I've gone without food for a while, but not 40 days.
39 and a half.
39 and a half, okay. But you know what? God provided for him. He didn't have to eat. God, he wasn't sick at all when he came down off the mountain. He's strong enough to throw them stones down and break them the first time. Pulverize them. And holler a lot. He still has some energy in him. They went back up there and came down again, and he was still going strong, wasn't he? God provided for him. When Jesus was out there in the wilderness, God provided. Because there was God walking in flesh, in human flesh, but God was providing for himself, wasn't he? All right? Let's go on and look a little bit further now. Now the badger, or, well, we forget the badger business. The seal skin, okay? King James is just a little off the beam, okay? General directions, they're dull, blue, gray, dark brown, not very pleasing to the eye, no form given. No definite measurements. No form given, no different measurements. In Psalm 22, it said, in him, and Isaiah 53, in him there was nothing super beautiful that we saw that to desire. Okay? He was just a common man. He was plain like us. He was a common man. He hath no form nor comeliness, Isaiah 53 and verse 2. People outside could only see the outer covering. People in the world that look to Jesus do not see who he really is. All right? To see him, the linen, you have to be where? On the inside of the tabernacle. All right? The world sees only his humanity, not his deity, and that goes for the unbelieving, cultish world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but what? The world knew him not. The world only sees him as a man, an outcast, homeless, and a wanderer. A vagabond. A hobo, so to speak. That's what he was. When he lived in this world, Jesus lived like a hobo. He went from place to place doing what? Feeding the world. Providing, feeding the world by the words of God. Every time the Pharisees came up to him, he said, "It says in my word, not your word, my word." They thought they were the characters of the word, but here is the word right there. It's my word, okay? From the inside, one sees purple, scarlet, blue, gold, and silver. Get in Christ and you can see His beauty. The brazen altar now. Look at the brazen altar down there. This is one of the largest pieces of furniture here. Where's the brazen altar? Anybody point to it? Right there. All right, the brazen altar. Now let's think about that brazen altar. Let's look at it for a few moments, okay? It's 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by 4.5 feet. That's how actually big it is, okay? We won't talk cubits because how many of you really measure anything by cubits? Anybody here? Have you got a cubit yard, a cubit stick at home? Any of you guys got a cubit stick? No, we don't do that. So let's just get it in feet and be settled with that. Okay, it's 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by 4.5 feet. All right, and it's made of brass and what? This is unusual now. If you're going to build a barbecue pit at home. Brother Floyd, have you ever built a barbecue pit? No. Brother Wally, you ever built a barbecue pit?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Anybody else in here, have you ever built a barbecue pit, brother?
Yeah.
You probably did. How about you, Brother Mike? No, I have. Brother Dave, you built one? Okay. Did you make it out of wood?
I've seen some of those. As a fireman, I've heard here.
Yeah. You understand what we're talking about. Wood. Now this is an altar, a brazen altar. This is what they burn the sacrifices. Just think about this for a while. It's made out of brass, which stands for what in the Bible? Judgment. Who is this altar representing? Jesus. All right, Jesus. That's who it's representing. Was Jesus human? Made out of wood. It was God's judgment, the judgment of God. Did He decide that the judgment of God would be upon Him? That's right. Who decided this? In the eternal halls of Elohim did, the Godhead. And one of them, the physical expression of the Godhead, Jehovah, Jesus, would appear among mankind and redeem them back. Okay? So that altar had to be made out of brass, the judgment, and wood. It had four horns on it. Four horns. Four horns on the altar. What do you think those four horns represented? Huh? Gospels. The Gospels. The Gospels. The four Gospels. How do the four Gospels represent Jesus Christ? Look at the four flags on your little handout. Remember this. This is imperative. Okay? If you want to talk to somebody in a cult, if you want to talk to somebody in a false religion, or if you want to tell somebody about God, this is the revelation God gave Him Himself. Okay? This is God's revelation. Okay? Of Himself. In the north. In the north, we have what we have, the tribe of Asher and Dan and Naphtali. And what was their flag? What was their flag? What do you got up there? What's on that flag? That's the eagle. Where does the eagle fly? In heaven. That was the abode of Jesus, wasn't it? He is the God that came down from heaven. All right, the God that came down from heaven. Okay? That represents, and which of the Gospels represents that? John. John's Gospel. Okay, look over to the south. Okay? The south. We have the head of a man. Okay? We have Simeon, Reuben, and Gad represented by this flag. Which of the Gospels tells us that Jesus was man, a real, living, breathing man, that he actually rose from the dead?
Luke.
Who? Luke. What was Luke's occupation? He was a scientist and a physician, and he's an expert witness. He was a physicist of his day, so to speak. Now, if you wanted to somebody to tell you that Jesus was really, that God was really man, who would you have to tell us that? An expert witness. And who was the expert witness? Luke. Okay? Now look over to the right. We have the lion of the tribe of Judah. All right? Which one of the Gospels represents Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah? Matthew. All right? The four horns of the altar now, remember this, the four horns of the altar representing the four revealed theology of the Bible that tells us who God is. Now look over to the west. We have Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin. All right? And we have a calf there. A calf. Now, which one of the Gospels represents Jesus as the burden bearer? Mark. There you go. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay? That's who that... The four. Everything in the Bible fits together. If your theology doesn't fit together that way, then something's wrong. Okay. Which one did we finish here on? It had four horns halfway down, a network of brass. It was put where the sacrifice is made. All utensils were made out of what? Brass. Number B, the typical significance. Typical of Christ on the cross. What kind of a cross was Jesus on? A wooden cross. All right. Who put him there? His people that rejected him and us. It was necessary that he was there. Well, right there is where we're going to finish up. We're going to get back here next week. Happy birthday to all. You can keep those. Those are yours to keep. Bring them back next week. We'll start right there where we're going. Thank you for your attention. And I hope you're enjoying this and hope you're learning more from this. I've never really gone into this much detail in Tabernacle before, but it is extremely necessary, especially in the world that we live today. If you've got somebody out there in some cult or somebody that you want to lead to the Lord, lead them to the Lord now with the Tabernacle. In that, well, what does the tabernacle reveal? Who God is. All right. Brother David, I guess you're it.